Well, good afternoon. This is Glenn Coble. You're listening to A Progressive Life. And I had a really good time the first 2 hours today. Scott and I were talking with lots of very informed members of our audience, informed on all sides. And it's a discussion that we had that, like I said to Scott and the audience, I remember having this discussion with friends back 60, 70 years ago. Well, maybe not 70. I was only 3 then. But a lot of years ago, I remember having the exact same discussions. And they tended to get a little heated. Now, the nice thing is it wasn't heated because Scott and I are able to listen. And we do have a phone caller, so I'm going to take our phone call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Glenn. How can I help you? Hello? Well, I know. If I missed you, I'm awfully sorry. I hit the wrong button, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, if you'd like to call back, feel free. The number is 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. This is A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, and I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to give us a call. We had lots of callers in the first, in the 2 hours previous to this. I'm not going to rehash the questions that we went over because, like I said it toward the end of the 2 hours, it gets a little boring to me. It's the same questions that we have time and time again. And the question that we were talking about today is, did that lady have the right to open up her business even though the order to stay closed was still there, still on, and apparently she got charged for opening up her business. And we found out from one of our listeners that it's in the code. The health department has a code that they can call upon to make it legal that they... And it's not martial law. It's just a code that allows them to give us their best idea of what we should do in the case of health problems like we have right now. Everybody knows that this is a problem. I don't care what anybody says. It's a problem we haven't had to face. We faced it back in 1918, but it was different then. It was, and we killed an awful lot of people back then. I think worldwide deaths from the flu virus that went around back then ranged, and nobody really knows, but ranged from 50 to 100 million people died. That's a lot of people. Right now, the population of the world is just under 8 billion people. Back then, I think it was closer to a little over a billion. It was between a billion and 2 billion. So things have changed a lot. What I'd like to do today is talk about our Constitution. Now, there are people that talk about the Constitution as if it were handed down from God to Moses. It was not. It was a piece of written work that was argued about, fought about. One duel was fought over it, and never quite totally agreed on. But they came up with a lot of good suggestions on how to run a government. I'm not saying that they are sanctified, nor am I saying that they're holy. I think the fact that we have, what do we have, 28 amendments, something like that. I'd have to look it back up again. But we have well over 25 because the 25th Amendment's the one where you can take the president or a certain group of leaders can take the president out of his position. But anyway, we have 26, 7, 8 some amendments, and those all are saying, well, we forgot this, we forgot that, we forgot this. One of the things we forgot is we forgot to make, and these are some of the changes since the Constitution came out, we forgot that African-American people were people. We forgot that women had minds of their own. Those two things have been altered by amendments, and I would recite them for you, but I'm not one of those type of people that remembers all that stuff. Yeah, being a minister's kid, a lot of people think that I can recite to you John 3:16 and give you the verse and stuff like that. That one I can, but most of them I can't tell you what their numbers are. I guess because I'm not interested. I'm interested more in what they say rather than what their number is. Anyway, but some of the things that have changed since we made the Constitution, and I think they've been put on the front burner with the new musical that's been on Broadway. I assume that they're all closed now, but what was it called? What, Hamilton? No. Anyway, you know the one I'm talking about. Anyway, so many things have changed since we originally came up with the Constitution. The first couple that just jump off the page are the fact that we don't have slavery anymore. We had lots of, matter of fact, several of the gentlemen who signed, and by the way, there were no women that signed the Declaration of Independence or worked on the Constitution. But many of those men that worked on the Constitution owned slaves themselves, including our first president. Things have changed, obviously. We no longer think we can own a human being. Now, I will admit to you, there are people that don't think of anybody different than themselves. They're not really totally human, which I find just, I can't believe that we, at one point, we considered an African-American as three-fifths of a human. And that was after they were freed. Women have no rights. And I know there are a lot of guys that would say to me, yeah, that should still be in there. Only in jest would you dare say something like that. Because many of our women have really, especially currently, we have an awful lot of women in our Congress now, most of them on, by the way, on in the Democratic side of our legislature. We back then, it was assumed. Now, mind you, they were all white men, older. Well, many of them were older white men, much like I hate to keep harping on this, but much like our Republicans are right now, most of them were older white men. But they all had a sense of honor, and their sense of honor was based on what they believed was honorable, and that they could discuss things with each other with honor. We have seemed to have lost the honor, the concern for telling the truth. We've lost, we've turned into more gamesmen than we have honorable people. We find a way to break the rules or bend the rules. I was spent 18 years in intercollegiate athletics, and one of the things that really disappointed me in that was that so many of my coaches cared how to bend the rules than how to stay within the rules. I can remember lots of changes. And we were required, by the way, by the NCAA, one of the rules was that if I, as an assistant athletic director, saw something that broke the rules, I had to report it. and I would report it to my athletic director. I loved my athletic director. I still do. I believe he's still alive, Harold McElhaney. And I did report things to him. And many times he said to me, mind your own business, basically, which was really disappointing. It was not my choice as to what to do because he was the boss. But I did report them. But right now, who do you report to if you see somebody breaking the rules? We have what we call whistleblowers. And the whistleblowers' laws supposedly protect them. And we found that because there is very little honor anymore within our government, we don't protect the whistleblowers, even though it's in our best interest to protect people that tell truth to power. But for some reason or other, we've decided that power is more important than truth. But back then, we trusted people. We assumed they had the... Even if we disagreed with them, we thought they had an honorable backing. We believed that they were doing it on a principle. Like the principles recently, or not recently, but a few decades back, were that most Republicans were fiscally responsible and fiscally conservative, whereas most Democrats were less conservative fiscally and were more socially aggressive. That no longer is the truth. We're all over the place. It's whatever garners you power, that's what you say. And I am so disappointed with our government for turning into people like that. When I ran for office, that was one of the things I ran for. I have seen the person that beat me do some things that I think are, let's just say they're not as honorable as I would hope she would have done. But I'm not going to go there. I wasn't elected, so obviously the powers that be, the people that elected whoever took that position, they are right. Gerrymandering aside. One of the things is that they didn't take into consideration the diversity that the United States would become, the diversity that would come into the United States. We were mainly Anglo and Saxon. We were from Germany, England, the European continent, and even more specific than just the European continent, more German, English, Welsh, that sort of thing. We were 99%, I would say, Protestant. That's kind of where we came from. Well, since then, we have become far less Protestant. As a matter of fact, 30% of the people that were interviewed about their religious beliefs recently said that they had no religion. And that's kind of where I come from. But that's neither here nor there. The fact that they don't have a religion means that they aren't what we would call Christian. I like to think of myself as a Christian agnostic. I truly believe I follow the Christian religion, probably better than a lot of people that I know that claim they're Christian. I think the action is more telling than the talking. Not that I'm that perfect in that stuff either. I make lots of mistakes. They didn't take into consideration that the country was going to be changing. At first, it changed with the Italians. The dreaded Italians came. And the Jews came in. And then now we're worried about the Hispanics Oh, and by the way, the Asians came, and they were all evil. We put them in a concentration camp during World War II, even though I would guess that 99% of them were American citizens. We tend to do that sort of thing. If you're recently coming to the United States, you're in question. I don't understand why that is. If they're coming to the United States, wouldn't you assume that most of the people honored the way the United States was run and cared about our freedom and cared about their freedom? But anyway, that's kind of what we do. We hate you until we know you, or we hate you until somebody else comes into our country and we can hate them more. Eventually, you kind of slide off the plate, and now we love the Italians and we care about the Jews. We still are kind of mean to the Jewish religion. Anyway, that's where we are. That's where we've come from. And that is a huge difference from the way it was when we devised the Constitution. And the only reason why I'm mentioning that things are different than when we started the Constitution is we always have to consider that what we say was not handed down by God. What we say is what our Constitution is, was written by men, much like our Bible, written by men and supported by men, and not necessarily high-minded in several cases, but hopefully that's where it came from, a high-minded attitude. If you see any movies, especially in the 50s, 60s, about our Constitution or our Revolution or stuff like that, you would think that Jesus Christ was leading the troops. And it was not necessarily so. There were a lot of adjustment. There were a lot of men that were trying to find ways to make money out of the deal back then, even as we are that way now. We assumed back when the Constitution was written was that we all had Christian ideals. Now, I know that we were opposed to church and state, but we did assume that most people were Christian and therefore would have the Christian ideals. I truly believe that Christian ideals vary on the individual Christian. I can see that daily when I turn on some of our religious channels and hear people talking about how people with more money are more Christian. I just don't understand that. Obviously, they didn't read the chapter about it would be tougher for a rich man to get through the eye of a needle, that type of phrasing. Anyway, I'm not opposed to people making money. I'm not opposed to people being rich. What I'm opposed to is the love of the money above supposedly their religious beliefs. That's just hypocrisy, and I think we're full of it right now. I think we're full of hypocrisy and greed in the United States, and I would like to see that change. I'm not sure it ever will. I'm going to leave that alone for now. Anyway, but we still assume that we have Christian ideals, even though we deny that that's the basis for our government. We were built on differing ideals. There were some people that believed in democracy. There were some people that believe it or not, in, I'm sure, in a form of communism. There were people that believed in socialism. There were people of all different manner and different ideas about what a good government would be. Now, we ended up with something we call a democracy, But it's not totally free. It never has been totally free. Anybody that says, I have the right to be free, well, let's just talk about yelling fire in a theater. You can't do that sort of thing. We're faced with that problem right now with people yelling COVID in the middle of Walmart with no mask on. I'm using that as an analogy. It's not hasn't happened that I know of, but that's the type of thing that we have to face nowadays. That's another thing that's changed since we established our Constitution. Our medicine and science has jumped by leaps and bounds and bigger leaps than we ever thought was going to happen. And that has altered our lifestyles. Back when there was that flu epidemic back in 1918, we had no idea how to correct for that. We didn't do any of the things that we're doing now, and we killed worldwide between 50 and 100 million people with flu. We now have shots that help take care of that problem. And by the way, you should still get your shot for this next season. Hopefully, by the time we're getting shots for the flu, we will have a secondary shot for COVID-19. From listening to Dr. Fauci, I'm not sure that's going to happen, but there's a possibility, that's what he says, that it'll happen before the end of the year, but it didn't sound very hopeful. Anyway, they are getting closer, and they are finding things that will help us get through the illness. There's some sort of medicine right now that seems to cut the illness down by a few days, which is good, especially being one of those old-timers that's over 65 and I have a pre-existing condition of my heart. I hope we find all sorts of cures. And yes, I do take my flu shot every year. I get really mad at my wife because she puts it off and puts it off. Anyway, I don't think she had it this year. Oh, I'm going to have to jump on her. let me see. What else? I was up the last two nights has been my habit. Talking to my dog, telling her things that I was going to talk with you about. She disagreed on a lot of things. She's a stickler for honesty. Let's see. When we were created, this is kind of interesting. When we were created, nearly 250 years ago, there was no nuclear power. There was no internet. There was no TV. We didn't have nuclear bombs. We didn't have an awful lot of things that we have now that have changed the world in degrees of black and white. The things that you and I think about as everyday. Well, I'm old enough that I remember not having a television in our house. It almost sounds ludicrous, but I do remember. Got the very first one when I was six, I think. And I remember the very first show I watched was Winky Dink out of Chicago. Winky Dink was a cartoon, and I can still remember the theme song. Winky Dink and you, Winky Dink and me. Anyway, can't sing when my nose is full, and that's kind of what's happened today. Anyway, there are so many things that have changed, so many creations that have changed, which actually change our Constitution. Just the mere fact that now we're discussing states' rights, which is involved in the Constitution. But does the state have the right to tell you you can't go out in public? Well, not if you consider that we have the right to assemble, but the greater good, do we talk about the greater good? Is it greater good to stay at home, or is it a greater good to allow you to assemble all over the place and maybe pass that COVID-19 around? Now, a lot of people, and I've talked to a lot of younger people that say to me, yeah, but it's only, you only have 2% or 3% chance of getting it, so, which means you got 97% chance of not getting it. Yeah, but if I get it, I have a 40 to 50% chance of dying. A younger person isn't close to that. So I don't know. Do you care about your old folks? I hope you do. If you don't, go out and breathe all over them. I guess, your choice. I hope not. And I think that's why we have these health laws that have come to pass, which by Friday will all be, well, not all, but some of them will be lifted by Friday. And you will be able to go out and, I guess, go to a restaurant or whatever. I'm not. I always have believed that discretion is the better part of valor, and I will use my discretion to stay away from you. All right. We didn't have what else did I say? We didn't have so few with so much. What that means is we didn't have 1% of our population were billionaires. Or even close to that. We did have a privileged wealthy class. We have always had that. And I believe that'll always be around. And I have nothing against having a wealthy class. If that floats your boat and you think that you should go get as much money as you can, that's okay, as long as you don't step on my toes getting there, or step on my friend's toes getting there, or even people that I don't know, as long as you get there legitimately, honestly. A person that comes up with the cure to this particular vice will probably be a wealthy person, and more power to him. That's how we incentivize things, with cash. But the love of money has actually turned our government into pay for play. And I really, really hate that. Another thing that really annoys me is, why do we keep searching for loopholes instead of trying to make our Constitution stronger? We look for all the little loopholes. This thing that came before the Supreme Court yesterday has gone through I don't know how many different courts, and every time they say that there should be the power to look at the president's finances to find out whether he's corrupt or not. And each time it says that's the case. So each time the loophole is that he can take it to the next court and then the next court and the next court. And these aren't even loopholes that the president is using. These are loopholes that his financial institutions are using. And we've gone through as many loopholes as we can, and now we're at the Supreme Court, and that loophole is kind of soft. So we'll find out where that's going to go. And I certainly hope that if you can keep things in the courts and keep suing people, you can get away with just about anything, or the threat of suing people. Anyway, that's kind of what the puppy dog and I talked about. Let's move on to away from the Constitution. One of the things the puppy asked me, why do so many people wave the flag out of hate instead of joy for our good fortune? That's a good question, don't you think? Why do we, you always see these protesters and haters waving the American flag rather than enjoying the good and the good fortune that we have by being Americans. Waving the flag has gotten to be almost a four-letter word to some people. I'll wave the flag because you're not patriotic. Well, that's not true at all. I am not much of a flag waver, but I am patriotic. I'm proud of being an American, and I think we should all be proud of being Americans. But I don't have to stick my American flag in your face and wave it in your face to say that. I think we would do well by letting the flags rest and being proud of who we are as people, as a country. But we have to do things that make us proud, like honesty and caring and empathy and concern for others and all that sort of thing. It seems like, stop waving the American flag as a call for white privilege. Now, I understand that a lot of people, you don't, if you're an older white guy, you don't see that you're privileged. But you are. You're privileged quite a bit. That's why we have so many more African Americans and Hispanics and other minorities are in jail as opposed to the white folks. Being a white person in the United States gives you privilege whether you want to admit it or not. We've got to find a way to give privilege to everyone. The privilege should be for everyone, not just for white folks. And I was raised in South Bend, Indiana. My high school was about 30% African American. We didn't have any Hispanics that I know of, a few Asians. I was lucky. I was raised to find out that Tommy Sayre, one of my buddies, matter of fact, I just talked to him on Facebook. He was African-American. I didn't even think about it. He and I played we both played in the orchestra together. We both played on the football team together. I was so lucky to have been raised without that particular prejudice. Now, I do have some prejudices that I work on every day. I'll guarantee you. I'm not going to tell you about them. I do remember my father was about the most prejudiced persons that I know. Matter of fact, he was called a socialist by the John Birch Society, and because he marched in the Selma March. He was about the most unprejudiced person I knew. But yet, at one point in his life, he told me he would rather that I marry a Jew than a Catholic. And I've been fighting with that all my life. Why would my dad say that? I know that he had good friends that were Catholic. I know that he had good friends that were Jewish. Why would he say that? Well, at the time, the Catholic Church insisted that if you married a Catholic, you had to become a Catholic, and your children had to become a Catholic. And as my dad got older, we talked about that, and that was the reason that he felt that. Not that he didn't like Catholic people. He just didn't want me being raised, or he didn't want me to marry a woman who would require that my children be raised as Catholics. He was not anti-Jewish, but he felt it uncomfortable that his grandchildren would not be raised as Christians. And so I'm sure that's the reason. And I'm also certain that that has prejudice in it. I fight that all the time. I fight any prejudice in me. I even know that I even find the prejudices buried under rocks that I have hidden for years, and I fight them. I don't always win, but I try my darndest, all right? Now, another thing that my puppy and I talked about is gun owners. Right now, I am not a gun owner. I have owned a gun, and I was in the Army, so I learned to fire. But I wish that my friends who were gun owners would prevail on the honorable gun owners, my friends. I wish they would prevail on those who are not so honorable. The fact that, well, first of all, I hate carry, conceal, and open carry. I hate both of those laws. I think it should be the way when I was young. If you were carrying a weapon, you better be going hunting. but now we allow people to carry weapons into courthouses and carry well, I'm not sure they allow that, but they do allow people. They allow people to carry weapons into the legislature. I think it was in Michigan and also Wisconsin, maybe. And the thing that bothers me, and I tweeted about this, is we've got rules now that say you can carry a weapon openly in many states. You can carry a hidden gun in many states. And that also means the people that absolutely violently disagree with you can also carry guns openly or hidden, depending on the state. Now, what do you think that is? That's the 1800s gunslinger movies come to pass. Someday, somebody is going to go into the upper levels of a constitution. You know, it's one of these legislative places, and stand there to. And the only reason why they carry their guns is to intimidate. They'll carry their guns into some sort of legal situation. And somebody across the way is going to disagree with him, and a shot is going to be fired, and we're going to open up a range war with people shooting the other people because they are there. The people started shooting at them. Anyway, where you can stand there, and if you think you're going to be shot at, you can shoot back. That's all we need is a gun war going on in our Capitol buildings. And I think we are going to end up going there. There's just too many angry people on the far fringes of both the right and the left. People that aren't thinking, people that don't consider other people, people that really are not very intelligent. And they will blame it on the other side. We do a lot of blaming anymore. When I was a kid, if I blamed somebody, I would have gotten a spanking. Even if I was right, my father wouldn't put up with me pointing the finger at other people and not taking responsibility for my own actions and not standing up for my own actions. If I did something, I better have a reason why I did that. And that's kind of the way life was in the 50s and 60s. The 60s got a little out of hand. We had a war that we were in Vietnam that was completely out of hand. And that caused a lot of the changeover of people. I think that started the division between the two sides, stronger and stronger and wider and wider. I've been following Dean Kaler, who I had on last week on this show, who was one of the nine people that was shot at Kent State. He was one of the nine that were shot and lived. There were four that were shot and passed away. And he was darn close. He has put on Facebook every day. He puts in where he was 50 years ago that day. And now he's finally, I think, been taken off the ventilator. And I think he's now only got one tube into his chest. Oh, my. But anyway, We've got to make sure that we don't get to that type of situation again. Where, and nobody was sure. I asked him straight up, did you know the guns were loaded? He said, well, I came from a farm, and I was kind of sure that you didn't carry guns around unloaded. Now, they did have weapons. They had bayonets on the end of their guns, too, so it was kind of a double whammy. What a great show it was, though. I hope you enjoyed listening to last week's show. Dean was has always been very honorable about his position. He has never blamed anybody. He took credit and he took blame for his own actions of being there when he was there. And he basically said, I was there because I disliked the war and I wanted to say that. I'm sure he didn't know, and we talked about it a little bit last week. He didn't know when he went out to the green where the National Guard was. He didn't know that he was going to end up being having been paralyzed by a shot that severed his spinal cord. I'm not sure it severed it, but it landed in his spinal cord and made him unable to walk for the rest of his life. Now, Dean did keep his legs for quite a while, but the atrophy now has got it so that I think he only has about a quarter of either leg and is obviously wheelchair ridden. He does a great job, though. I'll tell you what, Dean does a great job. He gets out and he I'm not sure if he still does, but he was in wheelchair races for years and years and years and did quite well, if I recall correctly. The fact that he did it inspired me. All I do is I sit around and say I'm going to go running. I do walk every day, or most days now. Especially when the weather gets better. If the weather is really bad, that gives me excuse not to walk, but most of the time I do. Anyway, I hope you have enjoyed this kind of primer on things that have changed from when our Constitution was created. Please know that it didn't come down from God. There are things that we need to change, and that's why Scott and I talked for a long time today on some of the, we disagree, and it's really nice. I really respect Scott, and I think Scott really respects me, and we both disagree with each other on things, but we allow each other to have our own thoughts and our own feelings. I came in kind of angry this morning when I was listening to his discussion with a person before I got on the air. Not angry at the person, but I was kind of fired up, you know. But I really do get tired of arguing about the same thing time and time again. Anyway, I hope that you will join me tomorrow. We're going to talk about baseball on my swap shop. Or if you want to, you can call in and do some swapping and shopping. And apparently on Friday, we'll be able to do a little bit more.
This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention,